Why don't we go ahead and open our time with prayer. God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to share what you've placed on the heart of your women in churches around this nation. We pray, Father, for hearts to hear, for just a willingness to receive and to embrace your truth and to walk in the light. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning again. My name is Karen Waddles, and I am a pastor's wife and have been involved in women's ministry for probably around 40 years now. And I'm just so, first of all, I'm still so full from the session that we just came out of. I'm just so grateful to Nancy and to the Revive Our Hearts team that's allowed this opportunity to share with you what we've learned as the result of a survey that's been conducted over the last 3 months with women who are involved in women's ministry as well as women who are not engaged in women's ministry, to ask some key questions to help us to understand where the gaps are, what we're missing, what's on the heart of women who are not engaged in women's ministry. They come to church every Sunday, but they can't seem to find themselves plugged in to the ministry of women. And so I'm so excited about what we'll be able to share with you today. You will receive a handout when you leave that outlines the 6 key takeaways from this study, as well as provides recommendations of resources that you might want to follow up on to really revitalize and make your women's ministry all that it can be. So we're gonna move through these first few slides very quickly so that we can kind of get to the meat of the survey, which talks about basically what they want to say to you. And I thought we would begin with just kind of establishing the biblical mandate. And I know that we're already aware of this, that we have a call from the Lord, from Scripture, that is very specific about who is to lead in women's ministry, that they're mature, godly women that are pouring into the lives of young women and wives and single mothers. And basically, the Word provides the curriculum for us, that all of us need to be taught love and submission to husbands for those of us that are married, love for children, discretion and chastity, and care for the home. And this kind of is the tone of the survey. I know a lot of times when we're talking about a survey, you think, okay, this is just an opportunity for high-maintenance women to vent. Right? That's not what this is. The tone of this survey from the inception has been the concept of stimulating one another to love and to good deeds. And that's what this is about. And the writer of Proverbs says it like this: a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. So who were the participants? The survey went out to 100 women who work at a Christian evangelical organization, and they were encouraged to pass that survey on to their friends. And what we ended up with were 153 completed surveys. And of those 153 women who filled out the survey, it was interesting that it was heavily weighted towards women who are not engaged in women's ministry. 58% of those were persons who are not engaged in women's ministry. So let's look at the results. And first we will look at what did women who are already invested in pouring themselves out into the lives of other women, what did they have to say to the survey? This is just a little bit of information that you will see about them. One of the first questions that we asked them was, how were you introduced to women's ministry? And 74% of them, that large yellow area, they were introduced to women's ministry. And this is a key theme that you will notice as we go through the feedback from the survey. By a personal interaction with a woman who was already involved in the ministry. There was that personal eye-to-eye, one-on-one interaction. When asked what is their role in women's ministry, okay, I think I have mine out of order. How long have they been in women's ministry? What's interesting is that 70% of those women have been involved in women's ministry for more than 6 years. So these are women who are invested and very committed to the aspect of women's ministry. And then when asked, what is their role in women's ministry? 67% of the respondents are involved in some form of leadership in women's ministry. They are, only 32% are women who just are participants in the ministry. So basically, this survey probably looks very much like what we would get if we were to survey those of you in this room today. So these are sister friends who are in the trenches just like you and I are, that are sharing their heart. Next question was, how would you rate your women's ministry? And their strongest area, okay, I really have mine out of order. Okay, when asked, why do you participate in women's ministry? The number one response was, can you see that from where you're sitting? For spiritual growth. The number one response for why they are engaged in women's ministry is for spiritual growth. And the second response was for fellowship. When asked how they would rate their women's ministry, the strongest area of ministry, this is very interesting, was the ministry to singles. Very interesting, because we'll see later on when we look at the responses from women who are not involved in women's ministry, that this is an area of disconnect. But for women, these women that took this survey, they felt that the strongest area of ministry was their ministry to singles, and the next strongest was their ministry to married women. When asked, what are the issues that you want your women's ministry to address? The number one response was Bible study. And the number two response was an area where they were able to fill in the blank. And these are the responses that we receive. What they really want their women's ministry to address are real life issues. They wrote in depression, self-esteem, abuse, substance abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, and single parenting. So there's a clear understanding that if women's ministry is to be effective, that we have to somehow make the connection to dealing with the real life issues that the women are presenting in our churches. When asked what type of Bible study they use, 27% of them use Beth Moore, 19% use Kay Arthur or Priscilla Shirer, and on the next slide, we'll see that 9% of them write their own Bible studies, which is very interesting. And 5.6% of them use either Nancy DeMoss materials, amen, or the Bible. That's kind of cool, isn't it? 3% use John Piper resources. When asked the strengths of their women's ministry, the number one strength by 32.8% was fellowship and encouragement. One lady said fellowship for the older ladies and encouragement for the younger ladies. Another one said good fellowship, sharing ideas, prayer for one another, and spiritual growth. And another lady said new women seem to quickly knit in, and women who have been coming for some time have a genuine and practical love for one another. So fellowship and encouragement. The second strength was a focus on spiritual growth, love for God, and prayer. One respondent said, "We pray together, we meet regularly all year long. We've seen the men's group grow as a result of our praying and example." Strength number three, good leadership, leadership training. One lady said, "We have a very strong women's ministry director who's committed to involving every woman in our church in one or more of the many Bible studies and programs offered in women's ministry and developing a deeper personal relationship with Christ. We have a women's ministry prayer team who prays for every woman in our church every year." That's powerful, isn't it? Strength number four is Bible study. And this lady apparently attended one of those women's ministries where they actually write their own Bible study. Her response was, "The Bible studies they write are really good at leading you into the Word to study it more than the book. The book is merely a tool to get you thinking. The leaders put great emphasis on the Word and thinking and study of it. They're willing to be open and share how it is impacting them and what they've learned." Strength number five, variety. The women's ministry at our church is very consistent in making available a variety of groups that the women can engage in. Bible studies, coffee break, Widows Connection, Christmas tea outreach, book clubs, etc. Strength number C, can you read that? Would you read that with me? What is it? One respondent said consistency. Variety in material study attracts women from other churches. Strength number seven, and I'm moving through these kind of quickly because I want to get to the more open-ended responses so we can hear their heart. Strength number seven was outreach and a service project. She said that they are involved in several projects that help the deprived in the surrounding church community. When asked, what are the weaknesses of your women's ministry? The number one response was lack of commitment, lack of consistency. It was a lack of participation and a lack of resources to deal with the issues women are facing in today's society. Another woman shared that follow-up is a weakness. When someone has been missing from church, when they are regulars, we need to find out why or let them know that we're thinking about them. Weakness number two. This person felt like, not this person, but actually 15.6% of the ladies felt like their women's ministry was superficial and cliquish. Now remember again, these are women who are heavily invested in women's ministry. One lady said, "Many women put on a mask and are not transparent, meaning they don't feel comfortable showing weakness." Another lady said, "We don't talk about real issues." I think we heard a lot of this from Elise in her message yesterday, that we've got to struggle as women's ministry leaders to know that it's okay for us to take the mask off. Weakness number three, interpersonal leadership issues and poor planning. One lady said, "There is little team building done with the leaders, a lack of planning, and no one really wants to take charge." Another one said, "There's some struggle for leadership among some of the women." And I see some of you nodding your head, so some of these responses are resonating with you. Weakness number four, well, 12.5% of the ladies said, "Absolutely not. We have no weaknesses in our ministry." One lady said, "I can't think of any weakness, as our women's ministry offers something to reach out and encourage females of every age, single or married, working, retired, or staying at home." Weakness number five, a lack of participation of young women. Huge. The lack of participation by younger women is a weakness. We have never asked them about their interests or taken a needs assessment. Another lady said, our challenge has been reaching single women as much as the teaching has centered around marriage, family, and parenting. And that, again, is another key thing that you will see when we get to the other part of the survey. Weakness number 6, scheduling. Bible study is held when most of the women cannot participate. Women are often busy with responsibilities, and personal growth gets shifted to the top shelf, and other things take priority. Weakness number 7, I think a lot of us would love to have this problem. For 4.6% of the women, they said their group is too large. The church is large, so if a woman is not involved, and even if she is, you can feel like it doesn't matter if you're there. What's one more person? And weakness number 8, not enough funds. 4.6% of the ladies said that we need a consistent fun night. Weakness number 9, study of the word and a focus on spiritual growth. There was a consensus for this group of ladies that their ministries are lacking real Bible study and spiritual growth. When asked, what do you want your women's ministry leaders to know? The number one response was that you are appreciated. So if you would give the lady on your left and on your right a big hug real quick. I hope you feel appreciated. I hope you feel appreciated. And for both groups of respondents, those in women's ministry and those who are not, this was another thing that these women really appreciate and understand the sacrifice that each of you make to labor with us, to labor with women who have issues. One woman said, a good job in nurturing, encouraging, guiding, loving, teaching, and leading women down the right path for a joyful personal relationship with God. Number 2, the second thing that they want to say to us, they want to ask that we lead with a gentle hand and with the word of God. It broke my heart to read that first response there. This is a lady that attends someone's women's ministry regularly. Yet, she said, I'm lonely. And perhaps there are many ladies that sit under our tutelage week after week and month after month that share that same feeling. Another lady said, relationships develop slowly but are important. Please extend grace for getting there on time, especially when bringing young children to the child care ministries. Their attitude of frustration that people are not on time doesn't portray love, but annoyance. Another respondent said, please be more kind and loving. And another lady said, people sin, and it hurts when you don't realize this. Have a mentoring program for people who come from an unsaved background, because not everyone grew up in the church. The third thing that they would like for us to know, they want us to continue to develop new leaders. Leaders must have an eye of discernment to see potential leaders that are fearful to step out and lead. They must be willing to take them by the hand and help them step into their gifts. The fourth thing, and this is the last, they want to ask us to continue to reach out to more women. One respondent said, since I'm a leader, I would say what I would like us to know is how to recruit more help when it seems as if the most able and innovative among us are also the most busy. And the handout that you'll receive as you leave shortly has some resources that should hopefully address that issue. The second part of the survey interviewed women who are not involved in women's ministry. They go to church every Sunday, but they're not engaged in women's ministry. and there were 89 of those women who completed the survey. First question was, have you ever been invited to the women's ministry? Have you ever received a personal invitation? What is interesting, in their feedback, 70.1% of those ladies said, yes, I have received a personal face-to-face invitation from someone who is already engaged in women's ministry. And so the next question was, how many meetings did you attend after you got that invitation? What was interesting is that 66% of those women attended at least one meeting. Some of them attended more than 11 meetings. So that speaks to the power of personal invitation, but it also says that the ladies are coming, but perhaps there's something happening when they're there that's not keeping them. And so some of the other questions that we posed to them will help us to kind of address that. The next question was, why are you no longer involved in ministry? The number one response was that scheduling is a problem. Scheduling is a problem. That is another theme throughout the study. The second answer was, my life is too busy. And the third answer is that my church doesn't have a women's ministry. There were quite a few women who attend church whose church does not actually have a women's ministry. When asked which topics would encourage you to participate, the number one answer was Bible study. And I think you'll see a little bit later on that when the women are asking for Bible study, they're asking for a little bit more than Bible study. They're asking for the Word, but what they're really asking for is, help me know how to connect the Word to life. Help me draw those connections so that when I read and I understand what it says, I can understand what difference that should make in how I treat my husband and how I engage as a single woman in a world that is constantly bombarding me with images that do not help me as a single woman. So they're looking for Bible study. The number two response was a category where they could literally fill in the blank. And this is what they said as to the topics that would encourage them to participate. And once again, that is the theme that we've already heard, real life issues. The responses that they wrote in were blended families, lessons on blended families. We know that many of our families are dealing with divorce and the blending of families. So divorce was the second issue. The third issue was addictions. And the fourth issue was sexual abuse. So these ladies are crying out for help in some messy areas that perhaps make us uncomfortable. But we've got to figure out a way to allow the Lord to show us the avenue to communicate His Word in a way that connects to the messiness of everyone's life. The next question was, what is your perception of the women's ministry team, your women's ministry? And this was a positive one, so embrace the lady on your left and on your right again. For these ladies, even though they are not engaged in women's ministry, they have a positive regard, 33.7%. And they said they do a wonderful job of seriously considering how to help us as women grow in faith and trust in Jesus Christ for all of our circumstances. So there's great appreciation, once again, for your labor of love and for the work that you do. But the second perception was this, that most of our women's ministries are no place for single women or for women who work outside the home. This was a response of 11% of those 89 women. One woman said that our women's ministry is for married women, especially married women with children, and everything they do is uber feminine, like spa night. And it always involves lots of crying for some reason. Another lady said, women's ministry should be for all women in the church, but often targets only younger to middle-aged mothers who don't work outside the home. Perception number three. For 10% of these women, their perception of the women's ministry is that you can't make a genuine connection there. And I think a lot of what we have heard this weekend helps us in this area of how do we connect on a heart level with one another? How do we learn, how do we minister grace to one another? How do we give them Jesus? And how do we get our own self out of the way? For one woman, her response was that her women's ministry is superficial, fluffy, and pink. And another lady said this, I can't connect with women who say they pray for me, but never follow up with action, or even question about how I'm doing, or how the Lord is being faithful in my situation. So there's some key messages there that if we hear them, we can begin to know how to respond. Perception number four is that meetings are what? Not open, inviting, or meaningful. One lady said that the meetings are not very exciting, except for the same few women that have always done it. Perception number five, poor leadership. That was true for 7.8% of the women. Many times there is one leader whose style and preferences dominate the activity and exclude some of the women. Another lady said, they lack meaningful leadership. The leader talks a lot, but very little is accomplished. Perception number six, I don't feel that I would fit in. That was sadly true for 7.8% of the ladies. One lady said it's getting better, more inclusive, and not such a clique. I just rarely feel welcome, like I'm not in the group. Plus the fact that I'm a working mom is difficult. I feel as though they don't know what to do with me. It's like I don't fit the mold of what they think motherhood and being a wife should be. Needless to say, it's very discouraging. Another lady said, it's for women that fit the traditional role of marriage. My husband is not a believer. I've never felt like I fit the mold to be involved. I hope we're hearing the hearts of our sisters. Perception number seven. For 7% of the women, they felt that their women's ministry focuses too much on the social aspect. One lady said, I don't have the best perception of my church's women's ministry. We have dessert nights that are more social and don't provide enough spiritual nourishment. We have Bible studies, but they only seem to be seasonal. I feel like the men's ministry, and actually I heard this on the survey from a number of women, I feel like the men's ministry is way more extensive than the women's. I don't really like a whole bunch of social hours for women's ministry. I want to go deep and learn more about the Word. So when asked the question, what would you like the women's ministry leaders to know? This is what they said. The number one response was that single and young women need and want to be mentored. Number one response. One lady said, single women who work full-time feel just as lonely for support and fellowship as moms. In some cases, more so, since they are also without the comfort of a nuclear family. Another lady said this, too much marriage and family activities leave out the singles. Where there is balance, the ladies will come. And another lady said this, I would love to suggest that they invite college-age students to attend. It would be a neat experience to be poured into by older, wise, godly women. They also want us to know that women want to go deep in the Word and have thought-provoking discussions. This lady said, don't be flaky and do fluff. Focus primarily on depth in Bible study and application. Encourage the women to visit one another outside of church. Practice hospitality and pray together often. They also want us to know that they need help dealing with pain and with real life issues. Sometimes it's hard to share your heart, thoughts and observations openly because there is such a pressure to be spiritual, like everyone else appears. Another lady said this, continue to strive to meet the needs of the scars and pains of women. Often they are too scared to talk about it or fear being judged too much. They also want us to know that we need to reach out to more women. One lady said, if a leader approached me and talked to me personally about the ministry and warmly invited me to an event, I would more so consider doing it rather than just reading it in a bulletin. And we'll see that as we share some of the key takeaways. They also want you to know you're doing a good job. Please don't give up. Women have busy lives, so we don't often make it to events, but we desperately need connection with other women. They also want us to know that we must consider the schedules and the needs of working men, working women. One lady said, singles and working women need to be able to partake in the Bible studies and social events, but often can't as they hold a lot of those events during the day. They also want us to know that they need help connecting deeply with each other. One lady said, I seek women friends, but usually hear gossip, and therefore don't end up building relationships. That's a caution to us, isn't it? The theme here is that the ladies want fellowship, but they want it at a deeper level. And that's the challenge. How to connect that it so that it's not just a tea or it's not just a get together, but that it goes deep and it allows them to share their hearts in some way with one another. They also want us to know that they want us to choose our leaders carefully. It's important to evaluate the spiritual maturity of the leadership before placing them in leadership. Not that I have arrived, but the personality conflicts have to do a lot with leadership not handling situations in a mature manner. So what are the takeaways? What are the messages of this survey? As we looked at the response from women that are invested, that are engaged, that are pouring their hearts out in women's ministry every day. And we contrasted that, compared those responses to women who come to church every Sunday but are not able to find themselves planted and connected in women's ministry, and asked ourselves, what are the messages that go across both of those groups that we can learn from, that we can benefit from? And the first takeaway, clear. Let's read that together. The majority. Okay, that's the first takeaway of this survey. Out of 153 respondents, 89 were not involved in women's ministry. If the sampling is accurate and is representative of most of our churches, then that would indicate in most of our churches the women are not engaged in ministry. Yet we have a biblical mandate from Titus 2, don't we? To have a comprehensive women's ministry that touches the lives of every single one of those women. So recruitment has to be one of our number one priorities. And the handout that you receive has some ideas that you might want to put into place to help us to engage women who have a heart for women's ministry but have not been able to make that connection. The second key takeaway is that personal invitations matter just a little bit, in a huge way. 70% of both groups of women received a personal invitation, but for the non-participants, actually almost 78% of those women went to at least one meeting. We're in an age, aren't we, where we email, where we text, where we tweet, and all of that. Those are wonderful, wonderful conveniences that are available to us. But perhaps they have dulled us to the power of human touch and to the importance of looking a sister in the eye and seeing her heart and engaging with her and extending that invitation. The third key takeaway is that scheduling is a huge determinant of whether women will be able to participate or not. If it is true that most of our women's ministries target women who are the traditional model of wives and mothers, then it stands to figure that our scheduling kind of leaves out women who are single women perhaps and who work full-time and who have very busy schedules. Surveys can help us greatly in taking a poll of the women in our churches and being able to find out what's the best time to meet them. Takeaway number four is that single and young women are an untapped area of ministry. Single women are desperate for community. They're desperate for mentoring. And one of the resources that you'll be able to connect with when you receive the handout is entitled Reasons Why Young Adults Quit Church, and provides great perspective for us in better ways to engage with young women and to keep them plugged in to the ministry. Key takeaway number five is that women are hungry for meaningful relationships. Women love fellowship, but they yearn for much, much deeper connections. And they need safe places where they can take the mask off and be real and admit that we don't have it all together. We want to encourage ourselves, first of all, to take our own masks off before them and to give them permission to share what's in their hearts. And key takeaway number six, and this is the last, is that women need and want a deeper study of the Word, that they're asking for the word in conjunction with how it applies, what difference it should make in their lives. And we've talked about and what surfaced in the survey was a need for help in some really messy areas of life for our women. And that can scare us away. That can scare us away. So we might pray about inviting a Christian counselor to a meeting and allowing the ladies to really open up and share their hearts. But it's important for us to not run from this reality that the women in our churches, some of them are dealing with some unspeakable difficulties. And we have great opportunity and great permission from the Lord to offer Jesus to them. So what do we do? What do we do with all of this? What's next? What's next? And when you receive the handout, it has a lot of great suggestions, a lot of great suggestions for how to engage all of the women in our churches, how to make sure they get the word and that it connects to life. But I want to encourage you, first of all, to stay before the Lord, to seek Him for His plan of action. Proverbs 16:3 says, and let's read that together. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And Proverbs 19:21, would you read that? Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Can we pray? Oh God, our help in ages past, we thank you, Lord God, for the women who were willing to open their hearts and to share from the depths of their hearts. And we pray, Lord, for receptive hearts and a will to respond in ways that give great glory to you. God, I pray that these women's ministry leaders will feel empowered and encouraged and excited to be all that you can enable them to be as they reach the unreached women in our churches for you and for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.